Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had this special grace. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, I want you to understand something, that this grace that Jesus had, do you know from where we got it? We got it from his blood that he shed from his cheeks and chin during his passion. From his cheeks and from his chin during his passion. Isaiah 50 verse 6, it says, I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. It says, I gave my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. People pluck the beard of Jesus. He was bearded. They pluck the beard. And you know that blood will come out. Micah chapter 5 verse 1 says, they will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. They will strike the judge of Israel, talking about our dearest Jesus, our impeccable Savior. They will strike him with a rod on the cheek. Look at Isaiah 52 verse 14. That summarizes all the things that they did that marred his face. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 15. So shall he sprinkle. All right, verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, referring to Jesus on the cross, so his face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouth at him, for what they have not been told, they shall see, and what they have not heard, they shall consider. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he had a mad face. In other words, his face didn't look like that of a man. It was all bloodied, swollen, bloodied from forceful pulling of his beard while they make mockery of him during his passion, and they spat on him during his passion. You know, they hit the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek in such a way that I believe that it swole. So his face was contorted. No bone was broken. But the face didn't look, it was mad. It was destroyed. It was all blood. When Jesus Christ got a destroyed face on the cross during his passion and then on the cross, it was he losing favor so that you will gain favor. This person who came healing them, going about doing good, blessing them financially, blessing the poor, he lost favor one day. Why did he lose this grace, this spiritual and social grace? Why did he lose it? He lost it because he wants you to get it. He lost it. In fact, he lost favor with men, first of all. His crucifiers preferred a thief, Barnabas, to him who had blessed them and healed them and taught them. They called him Rabbi. Now the same people that he blessed, the same people who said that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the same people in Jerusalem said, crucify him, crucify him. Why did he suddenly lose this grace? It is because he wants you to have it. So he had a bad face. The Bible says that on the cross, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Men didn't desire him again. He totally lost the social grace that he had with human beings. First of all, so that what? So that you and I will gain this grace. And then secondly, he lost this spiritual grace with God. When on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even God rejected him. He no more had favor before God. Why? So that you and I will inherit his favor with God. Now we have favor with God. When we come in the name of Jesus, I've taught you what it means to come in the name of Jesus. It's not verbalizing the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer. Oh, what a rest we have when you understand that when you come in the name of Jesus and you speak to God and you say that, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus. Or you don't say it verbally, but you know, oh, hallelujah. What a blessing that you came in the name of Jesus. What rest enters your soul knowing that God hears you just as he heard Jesus when he had favor with him. That is before the cross. After the cross, he gained a higher favor. But he wants us to enjoy this favor, ladies and gentlemen. We have this favor with God because he lost it on the cross. We have this favor with men because he lost it during his passion. He lost it so that you and I will gain it. That's why I encourage you, don't let the devil deceive you to think that people don't like you, especially in our culture. Hallelujah. In this life, you need spiritual grace and social grace of our Lord Jesus. Let me use the rest of the time to teach you how to get this grace. I have to teach how to get this grace. You know why? Because not all believers have gotten it. When I say gotten it, it is not all believers that have it the way Jesus had it. Jesus had abundance of grace. He was full of it. He was not short of it. You may see semblances of spiritual grace and social grace in your life. But the thing is, we must get it like our dearest Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. His social grace be with you. His spiritual grace be with you. How do we get it? That is the question. And I want us to go to the book of 2 Peter, where we are going to end 2 Peter. I'm going to show you how you can get abundance of this grace. Increase in this grace. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1 and then verse what? Verse 2. Follow me carefully through your Bible, because we are just going to stay here till we finish. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, please understand verse 2 and verse 3 together, because it is joined together. He says that receive grace, let grace be multiplied to you through what you know about Jesus, through what you know about God. You know, according as, it's linking it just as his divine power has already given unto us everything that pertains unto life. That's social grace, just life, where you are among human beings. You are a social creature. Eh? He's given us already all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us. Through the knowledge of him, verse 2 says that you have more grace by knowing him. And then verse 3 says that he has given you everything, social and spiritual grace. The godliness there is spiritual grace. The life over there is social grace that you need in this life among human beings. It says that through the knowledge, he's saying the same thing. See verse 2 and verse 3 together. All right. By which we have been given. All right. Let's back up to the ending of verse 3. Let me show you something. Who called us by glory and virtue? Or who called us to his glory and to his virtue? Understand the calling. What you have been called to is what? You have been called to glory. Eh? And then you have been called to what? Virtue. The virtue is a spiritual one. And then the glory is the social grace. Eh? That you have glory before men. Right? By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. You know? says that in order for us to realize what has already been given to us, God has given us some words. Promises are words that are spoken. So when God speaks a promise to you, the Bible says that then faith comes by hearing the word of promise. God has promised you something, then you have faith. So verse number 4 is talking about you having faith. It's important, you having faith. Faith that Jesus has already by grace procured the things that you need in this life and for your spiritual life. He has already done that. But by faith, faith is a response to grace. Faith doesn't procure. Grace procured. Jesus procured for us by grace. Our faith is just a response to grace, that I believe what has been procured by grace, so that you don't boast in your faith. Kingdom faith, you can't boast in it. All right? It's not of yourself. It's also a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I want you to look at verse 5. You see, because you should understand verse 5 in the light of all that Peter has said from verse 2. He says that, but also for this very reason, in the King James Version, he says, giving all diligence. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, beside what? Beside you believing. Beside your faith. Beside the faith that you got by God speaking his words of promise to you. Beside that. Beside your faith. Beside your faith. Do you know what I'm showing you now? I've shown you that you got the thing by grace, right? Good. But I'm showing you a truth that goes with spiritual and social grace. Because Jesus was full of grace and truth. So anytime he shed a blood, he shed blood from his passion to his crucifixion, Jesus was releasing grace. And grace always goes with truth. Without truth, you may have grace. God may have procured a thing for you. But because you don't know, because you don't have the truth, that you already have spiritual and social grace, by Jesus gifting it to you, you will not benefit from it. Then you cannot lambano. You cannot receive abundance of this grace. So grace has to be multiplied to you. It has to increase. Favor with men has to increase. I'm showing you how it increases. It increases by you knowing certain truth. So verse 5. And also for this very reason, beside this, in other words, verse 5 is also important to what I've said about you receiving things by grace. From verse 5 to verse number 7, we come across 7 things you have to add to your faith. 7 truths you have to add to your faith in order to get what? Spiritual and social grace to increase. 7 things. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith the faith that you got by God's promise. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is talking about excellence. Ladies and gentlemen, for you to have social grace, you need to be excellent. It's not just praying that God, I receive it, or receiving it just in church. You have to be diligent to add to your faith. What? Excellence. You want to receive favor before your boss, you need to be excellent. You want to receive favor before the king, you need to be good. You need to be excellent at what you do, so that men will favor you. Yeah. You can't just say that I receive it by faith. I receive it, and you do a sign like your right hand that you have caught it. It's not just like that. It says beside this, add to your faith excellence. It's also talking about character. You have to get character. Character. There are Christians who don't have character. At the workplace, they don't have character. In school, they don't have character. At home, they don't have character. Yeah, they want favor. They want social grace. Says Peter says, number one, add character. And then number two, and to virtue, knowledge. This knowledge is talking about gnosis. There are several words in the Greek translated knowledge in our English Bible. One is epignosis, the other one is gnosis. There are others. Gnosis is scientific knowledge. Peter says, beside all this, add to your faith excellent character. Add to your character some knowledge. Read books. Know something. Improve yourself. You want favor before men. You cannot go to king's palaces unless you have some gnosis. You must know something. Because you can't go there and do blah, blah, blah. You can't go to the United Nations and do blah, blah, blah. You must be an expert in your area, in your field.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says that to your what? Character, add some knowledge. Add knowledge. That's number two. And to knowledge, self-control. You want to receive favor before men, spiritual grace. Have self-control. Listen to me. If you have not gotten anything, never forget this one. God will not give you things just because you ask Him for it. God will give you things because you have self-control. Because you can control it. Because when He enriches you, you can control it. Hallelujah. You want to receive spiritual favor before God. You tell God and the thing is done. You have to prepare for it. Hallelujah. You have to get what? Self-control. Control yourself. Before you can get favor before men, you must be a person of discipline. Discipline. The wise will come to you. The foolish will avoid you because you are disciplined. So he's a disciplinarian. We will not go close. The wise will come to you. And you need just a few wise men for your assignment. Just a few wise men. Not abundance of unwise people. You can fulfill your assignments. A few wise men. Hallelujah. And to self-control, what? Perseverance. Perseverance is talking about cheerful endurance. Men will favor people who are cheerful, even when they are suffering. Men will favor them. They have cheerful endurance. The Greek also says hopeful endurance. All things are not well, but he just appears to work. He's still cheerful. They are cheating him in the system, but he is still cheerful. Men will favor you. Amen. God will favor you.
Amen.
When you pass these tests with spiritual and social grace in abundance. Hallelujah. And to preservation or cheerful endurance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Why does God have to add brotherly kindness. The Greek is Philadelphia. Brotherly kindness is talking about natural love. You want to have favor before men, you must have natural love. Normally, brotherly kindness is shown to your siblings. Some of you, you are wicked towards your siblings. Wicked towards your siblings. You don't have brotherly kindness. But you see, for you to receive favor, you must have Philadelphia. Brotherly kindness. Natural love for your siblings. You have to help your siblings. I'm not saying live their lives for them, no. They must have the pride of having lived their lives and acquired some things by themselves. But help them. Don't overlook your responsibility to your natural siblings and your parents. Don't say you are bringing it to church when you have not honored your mother and your father. You want social grace. You want spiritual grace to increase. I'm not saying you don't have it. But we need abundance of it. Abundance of this grace that Jesus had. So that you can rule in this life where you are dealing with human beings and God. You need it. Brotherly kindness. That is the number six thing you have to add to all your spirituality. Don't be so spiritual that you don't think about your sister. Don't be so spiritual you don't think about your brother. Because you can choose everything. You can choose your wife. You can choose your friend. You can choose, but there are some people God chose for you. You don't know what you are losing by neglecting them. When they are up, you will be up yourself. You are linked in a way you don't know. So he says that you want to rule in this life. Have brotherly kindness. Have natural love. Don't be a human being who is so spiritual that you don't have natural love for people who belong to your tribe. Natural love. As for you, you point with your left finger at your hometown. You call all of them witches. And you quote scriptures. Abraham was told to leave. To leave. Are you called Abraham? Did you live before the law? Don't take a personal word of somebody and make it your word. And build a doctrine out of it. Think about your hometown, your relatives. You are an account. Think about them. Don't forget your nation. You can choose whatever thing where you want to nurture. There is one that God chose for you. And if you are a dark skinned person, you can go and do whatever thing, bleach. We will still recognize you. That you belong here. God brought you here. And there is a purpose. You believe everything especially, except the natural. You believe that the whole world is for God. As for you, you are a global citizen. You are an international citizen. You don't belong anywhere. When you grow up, you see. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about your nation. I'm soon going to do a very strong series on ourselves. Yeah. Because there are some things we are missing. Just because we have lost the natural. We say, spiritual brothers and sisters. Our spiritual brothers and sisters. You neglect your natural brothers and sisters. Our spiritual brothers and sisters. I'm not saying don't have spiritual brothers and sisters. But the Bible is saying, for social grace, for spiritual grace, add Philadelphia. Natural love. And to Philadelphia, to natural love, what?
Love.
Love. In the Greek, that is agape. You see, we will say love, love. Philadelphia is love. Agape is love. But the Greek person, there is a difference. If it's the same, natural love is the same as agape. Why did he say have natural love and have agape? Because some people take agape and they replace natural love with agape. He says that God's love is what? Agape. So this natural thing, this tribe thing, think about buying land in your hometown. Think about doing a broadcast that will benefit the people in your hometown. Yesterday, I was coming from somewhere. I reached my junction, my hometown junction. I said to myself, what am I doing for these people? I said, my broadcast for about getting to 4 years. Every week, it goes there. At least I'm helping them. But I was thinking, last week I told somebody, now you have to get me something. Get me something. If it's not in my very hometown, close. So that, what? Well, they can also benefit. Natural love. Otherwise, your relatives will do you some things. You'll be sad. You'll be sad. Especially when you get bereaved in a way. There you will see where power is. I was at a funeral somewhere yesterday. They stretched the people. You could see this, my friend. He was just haggard. I'll meet him. Say, sir. I said, don't worry. Say, we should remove all the canopy. Remove it. They won't allow us to sit and receive our people after the burial. We should remove it somewhere. And this guy was a little, you see, like this. He was tired. You could see he was haggard. Woe be gone. Hallelujah. These are truths that you must add to your believing. I receive it. I take spiritual grace. Add agape. And don't let agape eclipse natural love. Natural love has its place. Eh? Jesus. I won't go there. I won't go there. Hallelujah. No, let's go down. I'll teach you something. We are finishing, right? Wow. It says that, for if these things are yours, verse 8, and abound. In other words, you have abundance of it. I'm not saying you don't have social grace. You don't have love for your sibling. That's not what I'm saying. You don't honor your parents or give to them and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. It says that if they are more, you have to do it more. If they abound, you will be neither barren. The Greek word is idle, inactive, unemployed, lazy. You will not be lazy. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to bring us what? Grace. But he says that if you don't add this, these seven things, to your faith, you'll be barren, although you know God or you know Jesus. That's why he said, and besides this, add. Because if you have it more, I'm not saying you don't love your brother, I'm not saying you don't love your sister, but if you, I'm not saying you don't love Ghana, but if you have it more, God says, you'll be fruitful. You will not be barren. I know some of you think about these things too spiritual. Let me show you what Peter meant in the Bible. Let's go. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. In other words, the person is not future-minded. The person has no plans. He doesn't know the future. He's blind to eternity. He doesn't know what awaits you in your old age. When all your so-called friends that you chose are not there, then you see why God chose somebody for you. So you become short-sighted. You are seeing, but you don't see far. That's your problem. If you see far, those of you who were here early, You have wisdom. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You see the spiritual adding up to the social. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent. Therefore, he's ending. Verse 5 said that giving all diligence. And then verse 10 says that therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. What call is it? Because some people think that it is a call to the ministry. It's not. I told you, he has called you to what? Glory and to what? Virtue. So he says, make your call sure or strong or solid. Hallelujah. Your call to spiritual and social grace. Let it be solid. Let it be sure. Let it be stable. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, people postpone it. They say he's talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is when Jesus Christ comes and all that. Ladies and gentlemen, he called it an everlasting kingdom. Says that if you have these things, you will have a big entrance open to you into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus. Everlasting means that it was there yesterday. It is there today. It will be there tomorrow. That is why it is called everlasting. All throughout the Bible says his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It is always there. Even right now as we talk, an entrance can be open to you to enjoy kingdom life now, to enjoy kingdom life tomorrow. You could have enjoyed kingdom life yesterday because it is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you go on to read, time will fail me to teach you this. You will see that Peter calls this thing, he has spoken to you about these seven things, a present truth. That's the truth that goes with the spiritual and social grace. Look at it in verse number 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Which things? The seven things you have to add. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Jesus is full of grace and what? Truth. Peter said that even when I die, I will make sure that these things, somebody reminds you of them. Always. How many believers are here? They have forgotten about these seven things we need to add in order for us to have rule in this life, spiritually and socially. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-807-8535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.